Well, good evening. I want to welcome each one that has come out tonight to worship with us. And I trust tonight that what is shared here, that you'll be blessed and encouraged. I know I wrestled with what to share here tonight and in the time that I have to share it. And I would like to give you the title of this little message that I have here tonight. And it's a very familiar part of a scripture in the Bible. You find it in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And it says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's my title. I attempted to, I'll just let it at that. For some opening scriptures, if you would want to, you can turn with me to, before I go there, I just want to say thank you, brethren, for preaching today. Brother Ephraim and Marlon and Luane. I have to say that Brother Ephraim's message convicted me of something about my life that I need to endeavor to change. And the only way I'm going to do it is with God's help. And if anybody wants to ask me what that is, we can discuss it later. But I was convicted. Praise the Lord. I'm 63 years old, and I'm still being convicted of something I must change. Is that ever going to change? Is that ever going to change? That's a question I ask myself. Is that ever going to change? And the answer to that, no. I pray to God that I change when I'm convicted of changing. And I'm not just stubborn and just hang on to what I'm doing and what I want to do and this and that. But anyways, Hebrews chapter 3, I need to move on here. Chapter 3, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is yet called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, and we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Until the end. The burden that I have, if you're sitting in here tonight and you're converted and you got born again, are you moving on? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creature. And all old things follow. No, all things are passed away. They don't follow along. So that's my burden. So if you're sitting in here tonight and you're converted and you're born again, are you moving forward? Or did you come so far and park it? If you did, you're in the wrong place. That's not the heart of God. And we'll just continue. I'll read that verse again, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Strong words, but are we there? There's another account that I'd like to read from the scriptures. If you would turn to me to Luke 13. This is a very, very sad account. But I believe these are a people that have started and didn't move on. And they are in a very bad and sad situation. So if you're sitting in here tonight and you started your journey with Christ and you have found some place to park it, you are in a dangerous place. Amen? In my travels, the burden didn't come from here. But the burden I have that we don't go there or get there. In my travels, my spirit is telling me that there are people that are getting born again and they are parking it right there. Oh, I'm born again and I'm part of a church and that's it. There's way more. Way more. Would you agree with me? There's way more. There's more than I can tell you about tonight. Amen? God expects His people to move on to higher ground for the kingdom of God. Luke 13, verse 24. It says, strive to enter at the gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. And I do believe that this is talking to professing Christians. That's what I believe. If we read on. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door. And he has shut the door. And you began to stand without. And knock. And the knock on the door saying, Lord, Lord, open up unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I don't know who you are. It actually says, I know not you. I know not whence you are. And just simple phrase, I don't know you. Who are you? Pretty sad situation there, isn't it? Pretty sad account. Lord, help us. Then shall we begin to say, or ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. These are people that probably walked around and said, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Oh, yeah, I know God. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out. Is that possible that we are in that situation and we're going to see the people of God in glory? Sitting around the throne. And yourself is thrust out. So are you moving on? Or are you parked somewhere? Oh, this is good enough. I trust that no one sitting here tonight is at that point. Maybe you are sitting in here and maybe you never begin. Maybe you never begin. Maybe you know you're not right with God. Maybe you have never said, "Yes, Lord." But it's all in the same place. You will be found short. So I encourage you tonight, if you're sitting in here in that condition, don't think that you're going to make it to glory, because you're not. And if you're sitting in here tonight and you're professing to be a Christian and you're not walking that away, you are in the same train. That's the burden I have, that God's people aren't moving on. They're sitting here, it's good enough for me. If it was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. It's not good enough. I'd like to read a couple more scriptures in Matthew 12, and I know these scriptures are familiar to you. Matthew 12, verse 43 says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none." So if you begin the journey with Christ in here tonight, and you're just wavering around to and fro, trying to find rest for your soul, other than going to the Lord Jesus, this is what happens. It says you'll find none. Find nothing. You'll be empty. But you begin. You said no to a few things. But you didn't fill your soul, your heart with good things. You were seeking other things to find rest. Then it says, "Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I come out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty." That's a big word in that verse. He findeth it empty. He didn't move on to fill it with the things of God. He found it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And everybody knows what it says then. And then the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be unto this wicked generation. Very strong words. Let that not happen to this generation. I encourage you tonight, if you are sitting in here and you are born again, maybe you just got born again. I have a few questions for every one of us in here. Do you go the same places? Do you have the same friends? These are questions for myself, not just for you. Do you do the same things Do you talk the same way? Do you have that slang talk like, hey, dude, how you doing? I tell you, that comes from the devil there. I'm sorry. When I hear that, I cringe. You need to repent. And there's many more of them sayings. And I don't know them all. There's some new ones I heard just the other day. Lord, help us. Do you say the same things? Do you still talk the way you talked before? I'm telling you, if you do, you probably never got born again. Because it says all things come new, everything. So if you're walking around and say, hey, dude, how you doing? Hey, what's up? Oh, them phrases just tear me up. And there's many more. There's some you know that I don't know. But it's garbage. I have a hard time believing you're born again if I hear that from you. I'm talking plain. I have to. Do you talk the same way? Do you walk the same way? Some people walk pretty cool, don't they? Walk around kind of, I don't know if I can do it, but just kind of walk around. And then sometimes you see the pants sliding down a little bit off the back, you walk. You know what I'm talking about? Sad to say, you see it amongst us sometimes. Lord, help us. You get the burden that I have? Do we walk the same way? Maybe this don't sound like it's necessary, but it is. Because God knows everything. He knows the heart. And do we act the same when we walk into Walmart or wherever, gas station? And the last one I have, do we look the same? And I won't expound on that. Are we seeking to move higher and higher in the jet stream with God? Or are we just satisfied? I got born again. I got born again, and nothing changes. That's the burden. If you would, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're just going to read a few verses there. I'm going to continue to read that verse where the title come out of. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things are passed away, and all things are become new. One thing for sure, you might deceive me and you might deceive your neighbor, but you're not going to deceive God. That is for sure. So, don't try to tell God all things are new if they're not, because He sees. He sees. So all things become new, and all things are of God. Everything that you do, say, think, or walk, or whatever, does it pertain to God? Is He the one you're lifting up? Or is it a lot about self? I know what it's like to pick up self because I did it for a lot of years. Who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, who hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is God trying to bring us back into the fold. Being reconciled back unto God. If you are in a place where you are parked, it's not over. There's a beauty. You can come out of that and you can move forward with God. With God, all things are possible. I'm not preaching a message that's hopeless. Only if you stay parked, it's hopeless. Only if you stay parked. There's more to read there. Let's move on to chapter 6. I'm going to read from 6 until the end. By pureness, by knowledge. This is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. By honor and dishonor, evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet rejoicing, as poor yet making rich, having nothing yet possessing all things. O Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. This is a begging verse. You are not straightening us, but you are straightening in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak unto you, my children, be also enlarged. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I know that we are around this. A lot of you are around this every day in your work field, around unbelievers. But that's not what it's talking about. We're walking hand in hand, wrapping our arms around unbelievers. Oh, they're not so bad. They're starting to be a little bit nice. You follow what I'm saying? Let's be careful. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? None. What communion has light with darkness? None. None. What for friends do you have? What for people are you still communicating with? What for people are you wrapping your arms around? And we get to the point, well, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. What concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with infidels? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? I believe we used this verse in a very wrong way for a lot of years. I did. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate. Saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And then I will receive you. Hallelujah. But you need to come out from among it. You need to come out from among that thing that you're hanging on to that may look so good, but it's wrong. But it's wrong. You fill in the blanks. You fill in the blanks. I know what it was for me. And if I'd have time, I'd share the testimony. I know what it was for me. And I had to come out from among it. And it wasn't the culture that I was brought up in either. I want to get that very straight. Lord, help us. Wherefore, come out from among you, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's the most beautiful promise. that I can quote tonight, that I have ready to quote tonight, I will receive you. And the next one is this: and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. But you need to come out from among whatever. You fill in the blanks. Come out from among, quote, 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 whatever. There are things that Christians just aren't allowed to do. Amen? Just aren't allowed to do, and you fill in the blanks. Christians aren't allowed to talk foolish. Chapter 7, the first verse says this: having therefore these promises, what promises? Come out from among them. That's a promise from the Word of God. We must come out from among. If we don't come out from among, we probably can't move forward. Amen? We probably will park it pretty quick. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Having therefore this promise, I will be your father, and you will be sons and daughters, because of that promise. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'd like to close with a few few verses from first one is in 1 Peter chapter 2, and this is a very familiar verse. I know you know it all. Verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, there's many verses I could read, but the time is coming to nigh here, and I need to stay in my time. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal. Ever look up the word royal? I think it just means just a majesty. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. My question is this: is that what they say about us? Is that what they say about me? Is that what they say about you? Or do you just fit in pretty good? Just gives us all something to think about. If we just fit in pretty good with the world, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you sitting in here, that may not sound so relevant as it does to me. Because I was in an extreme amount of darkness. And I praise God that He drew me out of that. And He set my feet on the rock of Jesus Christ. So tonight, are you a peculiar people? I'd like to read a couple more verses in 2 Peter, and this will be the closing verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things to pertain into life and godliness. It's not impossible, brothers and sisters. It's not impossible. Because he give us the opportunity to pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, and hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's not impossible, brothers and sisters, and those that just maybe got newly converted, it's not impossible. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you, and abound, are these things in you and are they abounding tonight? Are you excited about it? Because you have brotherly kindness and you have all those that I shared with you. Patience. Yeah, I struggle with that a lot. Patience. But the Lord has done a work in my heart with that. Praise the Lord. He's still working on me. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Hallelujah. Neither barren nor unfruitful. You will bear fruit. If you set your heart and mind to what we're reading it right now, you will bear fruit. That's what it says. Yeah, we'll have things we need to work through. And God will help us with that too. So you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, the next verse. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, my dearly beloved brethren, he doesn't say that. I added that. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Because if you do, you will never fall. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Hallelujah. Does that make us perfect? Almost. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. An entrance to what? The kingdom. For so an entrance, it's a beautiful promise, brothers, sisters. Shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto an everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you.